mystery. There is so much about faith that is a mystery. Not a mystery that we can solve, like an Agatha Christie novel, for example. Often we're left with questions and puzzles. We can speculate, search for answers, maybe even come to some conclusions. But there are some aspects of what we believe that will continue to remain a mystery. Sometimes we need to stay with the uncertainty, and that can feel uncomfortable, especially if you're someone who likes clarity and everything boxed off. I wonder how comfortable you are with uncertainty. Maybe how we understand and encounter God is influenced by how much mystery we can bear. As humans, we seem to love mysteries and puzzles. There are so many books and TV programs based on puzzles to be solved, whether it's a detective series, a crime drama, or even the latest soap or drama. What's going to happen next? How will the characters solve their dilemma? Having a mystery gives our brains something to wrestle with. It means we need to engage, to challenge our assumptions, to change our perspective when we discover something new. It helps us engage deeper and deeper. How does the hymn go? We have a faith that is steadfast and certain, but we don't absolutely understand. As we journey forward, we need to continue to hope, to wonder, to trust. Sometimes we put our trust in aspects of our faith that are familiar. We invest in what we know, what we prefer. But in times like these, when we are, for example, unable to worship together in the way that we do normally, so much is challenged. For the next few weeks, we're going to use the book of Ephesians to help us to focus our reflections. It certainly will give our brains something to wrestle with. We're going to think about our faith journey. What does it mean to be a child of God, to be God's people? What about the church building? What is the body of Christ? How can God's light shine in our community? Given the challenges we've been facing, and as we enter this new season, we need to rediscover what it means to be church. The impact of COVID-19 and the limitations on how we can meet mean that we need to rethink how we do church, how we be church, how we are church. The crisis has shaken us up and we can't meet as we used to. Our worship looks different, it feels different. Some folk are keen to get back to what we used to do, but at the moment that is impossible. I think we just need to focus on what we can do now and work out what that looks like. We need to let the future unfold. At the beginning of lockdown back in March and April, as a church, we tried to hit the ground running and we tried to find ways to link people together by ringing each other, by linking online. We found ways of worshipping using Facebook Live. Now that the restrictions have eased, we need to find new ways of encountering God together. On Monday, the 7th, the PCC agreed to find ways to open the building to return to worship. As I sit here on Wednesday, the 9th of September, reflecting on what to share with you on Sunday, I find that the government is bringing out new guidelines saying only up to 6 people can meet socially, either indoors or outdoors. Be warned, any arrangements that we make are liable to be subject to change at short notice. We will need to be flexible and to respond to where we are. We will be sending invitations to people whose home addresses and email addresses we have, and we will put something on the website about how we intend to open, following a thorough risk assessment, of course. How do we make sense of these times? How can we be church in these uncertain and changing times? Well, for the next few weeks, as a church community, we're going to read some sections of the book of Ephesians. It's a New Testament book, and it's a book that begins with a mystery because we're not exactly sure who wrote it. Some people feel sure that Paul wrote the letter. Others suggest it was written by an associate of his. Another question is whether it was written from Ephesus or to the people of Ephesus, or it could have been a circular to go to a number of churches. It is highly probable that it was written to be read out loud. And I'm going to read the first part of the chapter 1 from the NIV version. As you listen, see if a word or phrase speaks to you today. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfilment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. I wonder what word or phrase stuck with you. You might like to read the passage or rewind and listen to it again being read. The passage is a great overview of our faith. But one of the things that's been lost in translation is that the style of this letter is quite different from the other letters, as in the writing there are snatches of liturgy, perhaps a hymn, a creed, a prayer, sentences that would be familiar to the listeners from other contexts. The writer is reminding the listeners of what they know, helping them to make sense of their new faith in Christ. The letter is probably written to Jews who are now following Christ. In one sense, there's nothing new, but perhaps this is a fresh way of saying it. A refresh, a reboot, a reimagining of faith. This is timely for us as we are wondering about what shape church can be as we look ahead to the next seasons of autumn and winter. As I've been preparing this reflection, I've had hymns and songs come into my head too. I wonder when you are thinking about hope, about being chosen, about being sealed in the Spirit, I wonder if there are Bible verses or songs that come to your mind. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, has been dancing on my brain throughout this reflection. One of the lectionary readings today is from the Exodus journey of the Israelites. It's in Exodus chapter 14 from verse 19. It's an amazing section that describes the angel of God going ahead of the people and the Lord in the pillar of cloud behind them. The Israelites are being pursued, but God is both ahead and behind them. The angel and the pillar change places, and the cloud lights the way ahead. The people are saved. Maybe this is what we're looking for at the moment, a sense that God is before us and behind us, leading us and protecting us, showing us the way forward into uncertain territory and shielding us from the past. There are similar themes in the passage from Ephesians. This section is an act of worship, prayer. Our Christian life flows from our worship. Tom Wright sums this up by saying, "True worship of the true God cannot help telling and retelling with joy and amazement the story of what this God has done in Jesus the Messiah." This section is a prayer that tells us what God has done through Jesus. Listen for a moment to some of the themes in the prayer. We are blessed. We are chosen. We are foreordained. We have grace poured upon us. We are redeemed. We are part of his plan. we have an inheritance in him. Our hope is upon God, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The writer, who may or may not be Paul, gives us an overview of the divine plan. Can we trust that plan? Can we seek God amidst the uncertainty? Are we prepared to stay with the uncertainty and trust that God is with us, before us and behind us? Sometimes it's difficult to see what's happening at the time. As you look back to where you've been, I wonder, can you see God's hand on your life? What is your faith story? One of the things that I'd like to pick up from the Ephesians passage is that as a child of God, you are chosen, adopted. The NIV says we are adopted as sons. It refers to sonship. The NRSV version describes being adopted as children. This is a powerful message. This is about a full inheritance. We're not a second cousin, twice removed, not a servant, but a child that will be treated in the same way as any other children in the household. In the Jewish culture, this was very powerful, and it meant that you were given all the privileges and respect that being a birth child gives, with no exception. I recall reading instances where a family servant or a slave was adopted into the family, and they were given the full birthright that would be afforded to a birth child. It's a significant thing, it's a legal thing. It's taken very seriously. This is not a glib comment that you are like a child of God. You are fully adopted. Do you feel that you are a child of God? I wonder, what does being a child of God mean to you? You are fully adopted, fully part of the family. No one is on the periphery or not good enough. And the inheritance, we tend to think of that as something of monetary value. But in the time of the Ephesians, an inheritance was more likely to be the family land. And for example, the land that the Israelites were walking towards. This was about your living, the continuance of your well-being, having somewhere to belong. All of this is given to you. You are a child of God, fully accepted, just as you are. You have a place to belong. An inheritance to look forward to. Your future is secure because God is both before you and behind you. As I close, faith is a mystery, but our faith is also a story of promise, of hope, a lifeline in uncertain times. I wonder what story you are telling through your life, through your actions, through how you are in Christ. If you'd like to delve deeper into Ephesians as we journey over these next few weeks, you might like to buy a commentary to help you read and understand the text. There are quite a number available. One that's particularly accessible and reasonably priced is from the Tom Wright series. It's called Paul for Everyone. I'd like to leave you with a couple of questions to ponder. What does it mean to you to be called a child of God? What is your faith story? When you look back, what are the tales that you would like to tell? And thirdly, is there someone that you could share something of your faith story with? May the blessing of Christ be upon you and those you love, both today and always. Amen.